You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 25 September. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and recorded for the long weekend show. We're off on Friday, but we've got a show in the feed for you. But it does mean this was all recorded Wednesday. So if there's something that we missed from Thursday, excuse us, we're taking a long weekend. On the show today, Derek Janser from Rensburg, talking markets as we see a surge locally. Brett Duncan, Standard Online Share Trading, as they win Stockbroker of the Year. And then Jean Rousseau from Capitec and helping us be smarter about our money. This show is proudly sponsored by FMI, a division of Bidvest Life Limited. Make your impact, protect your income first. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the views and opinions of FMI.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Derek Janser from Rensburg. You find him, of course, at Anchor Securities. Derek, appreciate your time. We're recording this just after the close on Wednesday. We've had a really, really strong day on our markets. No sort of news driving it, but certainly for now, looks like risk back on. I mean, the big question is, I suppose, is it going to hold? I mean, how are you and your team at Anchor sort of playing what's been a two-week sell-off and now a bit of a rally?
I think that's really the big question. I mean, at the moment, we obviously had a bit of risk on, as you mentioned. And like where we sit at the moment is very much in an unease situation. At the moment, you know, obviously South Africa is very much the bottom of the bombshell sort of, you know, market at the moment. But yeah. I think where we are at the moment is you've got to trade it. I mean, at the moment, the market's in a range, and there's no sort of clear signs to see some significant upside. But where we are is you got to look at bottom picking significant stocks that make sense in any portfolio, and then move forward from there.
Those stocks that are making sense. I mean, one of them, which I think maybe doesn't, but I'm going to throw it out there. We've seen a fair bit of property results out in the last couple of days. They've been, I mean, let's be honest, they've been ugly. I didn't think they were necessarily as bad as they could have been. Or am I sort of overreading it and perhaps way too early to a recovery in that space?
Look, I think the property market needs to be dissected into different parts. I think in the South African listed space, obviously we sit with a property market that's got a big offshore component, obviously geared against the currency. But at the moment, I think property is very much the last sort of attractive space of the market from an equity perspective at this point in time. So I think you've got time to get into property, but you know, you've got to analyze it from a day-to-day basis.
And I take your point there. I mean, you know, we've seen a massive rush off the lows of March. And you know, some stocks have absolutely flown. Locally, it's been a lot of the miners. Globally, it's been tech stocks. A lot's been left behind. Those property, those the leisure stocks, lots others, the banks. No sort of rush there. I mean, they will recover, but we can probably pick them up at a similar-ish price in a month or three, or frankly, maybe even six.
Absolutely. I think you've got time to do it. I think the key point here is that you've got time. At the end of the day, these businesses need to recapitalize their balance sheets. They need to rejig their whole financial statements. And, you know, you need to see some profitability coming through. So at this stage of the game, you've got to be very circumspect. You've got to stand on the sidelines. And I guess you've got to pinpoint your entry at this stage of the game.
I suppose almost in a sense what we could do is use this time, you know, do that research into the stocks, find what you want to happen, and then kind of sit back and wait and maybe wait for the price to come to you, maybe wait for the balance sheets to be strengthened, or even perhaps wait for some sort of green shoots to start popping out.
Absolutely. I think what you've got to do is stand back, wait for fundamental turnaround. And that's really the key is you've got to see fundamental turnaround. You've got to see cash flows being delivered to shareholders. you know, obviously we work in the equity space, and we've got to see that equity space starting to show some green shoots. We're not there yet. I think you can stand on the sidelines. You can sit bottom pick a lot of these stocks, but probably pay very special attention to some of the offshore space, European, whether it be US stocks, etc.
Yeah, perhaps some more activity there. A last question from Cashboard. I don't usually watch this, but I did see Value Capital Partners picking up a 5.28% stake in Cashboard. Generally, those are of interest, but not of significance. Value Capital Partners, they're sort of engaging shareholders, I suppose. We could call them that. They've certainly done some good turnarounds on stocks. They've picked up significant stakes. Is it something you watch, or is it to you just, you know, more of passing interest? And truthfully, sometimes it's Anchor who's picking up the stakes in businesses on behalf of clients.
Look, I think it's a good point, well made. I mean, at the end of the day, you could look for quality businesses in this environment. You know, positive cash flows are obviously very important. Obviously, looking at debt levels on companies, you know, at the end of the day, I think what you got to do is you got to cherry pick some of the best businesses that, you know, we offered as public investors in the market environment. And I think we're well positioned for that. I think Cashbuild is a very good point in case. They delivered. They've always been a very resilient business. And I think that they're well positioned for the recovery coming out of the whole COVID crisis. So I think there's a handful of stocks that look very interesting at this point.
Quickly, I'd throw us one more. We've got another half minute before I need to move to next guest. What would be another stock on that list?
Look, there's a handful. I mean, you've got to look into the mid-cap space. At the end of the day, you've got to look into some of the undervalued, very attractive stocks. One stock that looks very attractive at the moment is Alviva. I think that is a very positive cash flow generative business at this point in time. And I think, you know, there's a lot of opportunity in the small to mid-cap space.
We'll leave that there. Derek Janser from Rensburg from Anchor Securities. Putting his head in the block there, but I agree. Aviva's definitely another one there. Cashboard as well. Derek, really appreciate your time.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Brett Duncan. He is head of Retail Equities at Standard Bank Group, also head of the Standard Online Share Trading. The reason we're chatting to him is they just won the 2020 Stockbroker of the Year. It's sixth time in 11 years. Quick disclaimer, I still do some contract work for them. Brett, morning, appreciate your time. Huge congrats. It must have been 2020 has been, I mean, in the industry, absolutely the wildest year we've ever seen. Massive increase in JSE volumes. And I imagine a challenging year to sort of keep it together and ultimately come out on top.
Morning, Simon. Yes, thanks very much. You're absolutely right. 2020, it makes going to the theme park on a roller coaster ride seem like something for beginners. you know, in the 20 years that I've been involved in the stock market, trading with Standard Bank, I've never quite seen a year like it. I mean, I thought I'd seen it all when we saw the financial crisis back in 2008, 2009. But this year, with the massive sell-off, the uncertainty of COVID, the return of the day trader, which has been very interesting, we've really seen a lot more people coming into the market and speculating. The uncertainty as to where to from now, the movement in the rand, you know, stocks like Sasol moving like hundreds of percent. It's been an absolutely wild ride, and certainly been a year we won't be forgetting in a hurry.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned sort of return of the day trade. I mean, one of the key things, I mean, you know, in 2008, we had online, we had internet, but it was still, back then, we thought it was exciting. It was rudimentary. If we go back to 2000, you know, internet was really, really rudimentary. What has happened in 2020 is the technology is really at that point where, you know, I as an individual can sort of, I can be my own broker, I can be my day trader, I can be my own investor/analyst all rolled into one. The technology is just amazing, and immensely, it's a cliche, it's empowering.
Yeah, and you know, Simon, you've been involved in the market probably almost as long, or as if not as long as I have, and we've always had online trading. But I agree with you 100%. Is that suddenly, you know, with Wi-Fi being pretty much ubiquitous, and with it being quite common for a lot of people to have 100 meg fiber lines into their house, which back in the day pretty much would have run, you know, half a trading room. you know, the plethora of tools and the sophistication, of the trading platforms that we see nowadays, I can honestly say that there's no advantage to a hedge fund manager compared to a day trader sitting at home. I mean, straight through processing directly into the market, all the bells and whistles. And yes, I do agree with you. I think that is the big difference. Is we had the ability to do these things 10, 15 years ago, but it was a very narrow portion of the population that could do it effectively. Now, if you've got a decent internet connection, which many people do have, the world's your oyster, and we've seen it. A lot of people sitting at home during COVID, or maybe working from home, have a little bit more time on their hands, and the stock market's become a place that's obviously very news driven. It's very topical. You're seeing it every time you turn on the telly, and people are making use of the internet and really getting back into the swing of trading.
And you said the world is your oyster. And the other thing that really stands out is that in the online trading investing space, South Africa is world class. I mean, you know, whether, you know, someone sitting in New York with a New York provider has, frankly, I've got the same stuff here sitting in South Africa in Johannesburg. And of course, I've got access to that New York market as well. We're not lagging as we do in some other areas.
No, we're actually very lucky because of the time zone that we sit in. You know, during your trading day, if you wake up reasonably early, you can play the Asian markets. Mm-hmm. You can then have fun to the day trading the South African market and the European markets, because obviously those are on the same timeline. And then before our close, you have the open of the US markets. So, you know, you really do have the ability to move across all the different time zones. What's quite interesting is we have a couple of clients who specialize in trading the UK and the European markets. Mm-hmm. But from a lifestyle point of view, they love the Cape. So they live in the Cape because it's, you know, the same time zone, but then trade those markets via the internet.
Yeah, and they got Cape Town, which is way better. Maybe no Eiffel Tower, but still way better. Last question. I mean, obviously your team went to work from home at the beginning of lockdown. Are you and your team still working from home? I mean, again, technology absolutely enables this.
Yeah, we are. We're working from home, and we are working very effectively from home. I must say that when we first started lockdown, we all thought, okay, well, this is a couple of weeks of inconvenience, and then everyone will be back at the office, you know, having their Vita coffees, mm-hmm. and doing things like that. If you'd ask me, could we transact and run the business as effectively as been happening from home, I would have said I didn't think so. But to all intents, it's totally business as usual. The guys are working from home and working very effectively from home. And we don't see them going back to the office until such time as it's 100% safe.
We'll leave that there. Brett Duncan, Head of Retail Equities at Standard Bank Group and winner of the 2020 Stockbroker of the Year. Congratulations and appreciate the time this morning. When you protect your monthly income against the risk of injury, illness and death, you protect your future and the impact you make on those around you. FMI has been protecting South Africans' income for over 25 years, constantly innovating to provide greater claim certainty and cover for more occupations than ever before. Make your impact, protect your income first. FMI, life done better. FMI, a division of Bidvest Life, is a licensed life insurer and authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Jean Rousseau, she's Head of Financial Education at Capitec. Jean, appreciate your time this morning. LiveBetterAcademy.com, what we're talking about. We have a country Actually, truthfully, we have a planet that is, we have a poor savings culture. We have low levels of financial literacy, understanding debt and inflation and the like. Your Live Better Academy really trying to work into that, trying to sort of, I suppose, uplift knowledge and understanding around saving, around financial literacy.
Good morning, Simon. Thanks for having me. Yes, indeed. I think we all know that money is an essential tool in every person's life. But it's not something that most of us are taught much about. So we believe that understanding key concepts and strategies can give people more choices and options and more protection. So the platform aims to empower South Africans to learn those fundamental financial concepts and strategies in an engaging way. And we believe that we can reach many South Africans through the Live Better Academy platform, which is a means of reaching people through technology.
I want to come to the a little more around the target market and the like, but I mean, you mentioned that we're not being taught by our parents, and I'm not dismissing our parents. You know, no one taught our parents. Truthfully, governments don't particularly save or have much financial literacy. We see the government debt levels around, and you know, without that sort of knowledge, without that understanding, we're going to make poor decisions. We're going to do the wrong things, and the sad part perhaps is that financial literacy is not rocket science. It's just not taught.
Yeah, that's true. I think we completely acknowledge that. And this is one way of reaching individuals. And you mentioned that it's a specific target market because you're not going to be able to reach everybody. And for that, you need very different interventions. This is one mechanism using technology to get people who have access to technology to be able to learn a bit more and just those fundamental concepts that they weren't taught. But it's true. We need to do more about teaching financial literacy from a very, very young age. And for that, we need to have very different and many different interventions.
You mentioned technology. This is obviously an online platform. Who is your target market? I mean, are you aiming teens? I was chatting with Sam Beck-Bessinger last week. He's got a book aimed at teens. Or is this focusing on the adults who are out there, who are earning, who are taking credit and trying to manage their money?
Yes. So this platform is certainly also aimed at a similar audience, at people who are earning money, but also it's quite relevant for students as well, with aspiring job seekers, people who are at the beginning of their career. So 18 to 45-year-olds really is what we are looking at. And then people, anyone can access it. So the platform is free. It's accessible on a smartphone, PC, or tablet. Mm-hmm. And it is about 200 megabytes of data that you'll need to complete the series.
Well, that's a good point, because, of course, data is an issue. The other is, you know, short attention spans, making it engaging. You know, there's always that trap we can fall into to make financial education, truthfully, dry and boring. It needn't be. That must have been one of your challenges, to make it engaging, to keep people coming back.
Yes, it was indeed. So we have a few ways of hopefully engaging people in different manners. So the platform consists of four different courses, and those courses are broken down into bite-sized modules to enable bite-sized learning. So those modules are no more than 5 minutes each. And you really, when you log off, next time you log back on again, you just start where you left off the previous time. So it enables people to be in control of their learning. But in addition to that, we realized that you need something to engage learners. So we've really tried to use examples based on fictional scenarios and people to get the explanations across in a really practical way, and using GIFs and images for making the concepts come alive visually. And then certainly the other big part is gamification elements. Mm-hmm. So we've got before and after each module, there are quiz questions that you will complete, and that allows users to test their knowledge, but then also keeping them engaged and recap content that they may have missed. And then we've got a quiz room as well. So if you want to keep on learning, that is really what we want people to be doing. So the platform is iterative of nature. So and our algorithms then ensures that when you log back on, there will be questions for you to answer based on those elements that maybe the last time you didn't get the quite right. And then I think what is really fun about it is as well, you earn points as you go along, and there are knowledge levels, badges that you can unlock, there's a leaderboard. So those gamified elements, we hope to really bring the platform alive.
Okay, yeah, and making it fun. And I mean, the gamification absolutely works. I've seen that in a number of different industries. A quick last question. What sort of topics are you covering? Are you starting at the sort of basics of budgeting and working through, or what topics?
Yeah, so we actually started basics of just a few really cool concepts to become financially healthy. So we've got four courses, as I mentioned. The first course is Becoming Money Smart, which deals with those core concepts. Then we go into budgeting, saving, and then credit and debt. And I think it's important then to note that these topics range from concepts such as compound interest, the impact of inflation, to creating an effective budget, setting smart goals, saving for emergencies. I mean, very importantly, I think making informed decisions about credit and debt repayment strategies, which many people struggle with in South Africa.
Yeah, and that's a great point. We'll leave that there, Junior. So, Head of Financial Education at Capitec, talking there, Live Better Academy. Jean, appreciate the time. That's it for the show today. You'll find us every weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. on MoneyWeb and the MoneyWeb app. Of course, podcast from 7, where all good podcasts are aggregated. This show was proudly sponsored by FMI, a division of Bidvest Life Limited. Make your impact, protect your income first. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the views and opinions of FMI. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie Kodora Masekla, helping us today as well. To you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.